Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to Friday. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. We got a lot to discuss. That old man, Tom Brady, he can't quit it, man. He's thinking of making a comeback. We'll get to that later.
Why?
Oh, I'll tell you why. The great Doc Gooden, who's going to have his number retired on Sunday, will join the show a little bit later on, around 4:45. We'll get into the baseball over the weekend. But if you recall 6 months ago, I said something on the radio, and I'm very, very consistent about this, and you were perturbed by it. I'm very consistent that as a fan of a team, I need to go further than the previous season. So when it was the Giants we were talking about, more so than 6 months ago, like 9 months ago, I remember saying to you, look, they got to the second round of the playoffs last year. They got to the divisional round. If they can't go that far or further, it's going to be a massive disappointment. Mm-hmm. And Tiki didn't like that.
No.
And I said the same thing about the New York Knicks, that last year the Knicks had a season that was a great surprise. They got to the second round of the playoffs and lost a hard-fought series to the Miami Heat. And as we were beginning the start of the NBA season, I said to you guys, not to be a troll, not to be a hater, just to be honest, because this is the way I feel about all my teams, they've got to go further than that. Well, we are on the eaves, if you will, of this regular season ending. We've had 6 months of basketball, and my God, a lot has happened. RJ Barrett isn't here anymore. Emmanuel Quickley isn't here anymore. OG Anunoby is. Julius Randle was great. Then he was done for the season. And Jalen Brunson, right before our eyes, went from that guy's awesome to holy crap, that guy's really, really awesome. And you look around the league and things have changed too, right? Damian Lillard's first year in Milwaukee. Giannis gets hurt. We've seen Cleveland. We've seen the emergence of Orlando. And I sit here today on April 12th feeling exactly how I felt on October 12th, which is the New York Knicks. And this is a compliment. So all you guys, don't be sensitive. Don't be unhinged like Ranger fans. This is a compliment as an IBO. The New York Knicks, through everything I just described, they've earned that where if they're not sitting in the Eastern Conference Finals playing that team, you know,
the one
team
they just beat.
You whipped the ass off last night, if you're not there, then this is a major disappointment.
So when you said this about the Giants, the reason I didn't buy it is because I didn't think the Giants were a complete team last year. Mm-hmm. Like, they still had a lot of work they needed to do, depth-wise, consistency-wise, offensive line-wise. So it was great what they did in Dabes' first year, but the year two didn't feel like the team was better. Now, when you talk about the Knicks, from what they did a year ago, which was a surprise, till this year, it feels like the team is better.
Yes.
And now, look, there have been some subtractions, as you just talked about.
A lot of changes.
Right? A lot of changes.
Two significant trades in the midst of the season.
I mean, humongous trades.
Yes, yes.
But unlike with the Giants, it made the team better. Mm. Right? The team got significantly more complete with the trades that they had. And honestly, because of, you know, the Mitchell injury, that it made Ihart into this unique big, big situation now that Mitch is back that you can, like, you can do whatever you need, right? The way this team is constructed, the Knicks, the way it's constructed, you can play big, you can play small, and you can score from anywhere, right? And a lot of that is because of, one, the subtractions that you mentioned, but also because Julius Randle has been ruled out. And without him, they had to get creative. Like, they had to figure, all right, we lost our second score. All right, Josh Hart, you better find ways to score. All right, Deuce, we're going to give you an opportunity. All right, DiVincenzo, the big ragu, you're going to get a real chance to play. And all of those guys stepped up.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
And so while I thought you were crazy when you said it about the Giants, because I looked at the Giants and I was like, I don't know about his team, dude. I hear what you're saying, right? It makes sense, but the team's not good enough to do what you're espousing. The Knicks, they absolutely are good enough to do what you're talking about. And so I'm not co-signing that. I'm not going to say the team is a failure if they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I can see why that's the goal.
Well,
it has to be the goal because they're good enough to do
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Unlike with the Giants, they weren't good enough to do what you said. The Knicks are good enough to do it this
year. I don't
want
people to get caught into failure, disaster, end of the world. It's just that you're good enough to get there now. And it reminds me of some years where the Yankees get set for the postseason. We know a lot of crazy crap can happen in the postseason, but your expectation is this. Your expectation is get to a World Series. Well, and I say this, I say it painfully. I'll be the first to tell you. I say it with a tear rolling down my eye because I don't want it, but I observe it. And that is, this team is good enough to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they should be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I said something to you a week ago, and I want to edit it slightly because things have changed. I said to you, could the Knicks lose to Miami in the first round? Yeah, but I think they'll beat them. Could they lose to Philadelphia in the first round? Yeah, but I think they'll beat them. Could they lose to Cleveland in the first round? Probably not, but I think they'll beat them. The only two teams I looked at in the East and said, you're not beating those two teams, are the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, if you don't mind, let me edit that. Things have changed with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed. Because Giannis Antetokounmpo, A, I don't think is coming back, and B, if he does come back, I don't think he's the same guy.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, I expect, and I can't believe I'm saying it, and again, tear rolling down eye as I say it, you should beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
Let's go Knicks.
Even without Julius Randle, you're better than the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I think, and it's getting close, even though it was one game. Who knows what the energy give a you-know-what level was for the Boston Celtics last night. It's getting close where you can say, man, if the Knicks play the right kind of bully, wide out, you know, shoot and score basketball like they did last night against the Boston Celtics, they can beat the Boston Celtics. Because the Boston Celtics, they are not tough on the boards. They don't get a ton of second shot opportunities, and it was exposed last night. I'm not going to say they're soft, but there's a different kind of, like, I don't know what it is. Like, there's a different kind of aggression without Marcus Smart, right? It doesn't feel like it's there anymore. And they have some bigs like Kristaps and Al Horford, but those guys don't feel like they're dominant in the post. And the Knicks can be.
Yeah.
And even if it's a small guy, right? Josh Hart out-rebounded everybody on the Boston Celtics.
Josh plays big. That's one thing about Josh Hart.
Right, but he's in there boxing out Kristaps. It's kind of like, what the hell is going on here?
I'll tell you something, and this is the dead honest truth, and it makes me sick to my stomach to say this. So last night, we were lucky enough to be at the Islander game, and it was a massive win for the Islanders, two points they needed to get, and it was scary at times. And they got that last night. And I was there with Tommy Lugauer, and Tommy was obviously...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Obviously more intrigued than invested in what was going on in Boston with the Knicks. And Tommy every once in a while would give us an update. And the first update he gave me, he wasn't even smiling. He just looked at me and said, Knicks are up by 30. And I'm like, what? The Knicks are up by 30. And I knew Jalen was playing. Jalen Brown.
That is. Yeah.
Jason Tatum was playing. I knew that. Even Kristaps was playing. I knew that. And so all I heard from Loogie is how the Knicks kicked the Celtics' ass. And I was very skeptical, I must admit, because I said to myself, did the Celtics even give a crap? Did the Celtics even care? And then I did something, and I really wish I didn't do it, but I had to do it because I'm a professional. At least I try to be. Last night at 1 o'clock in the morning after recording the Rico Bronya, I said, let me watch a little bit of this game. Just a little bit. I didn't watch the whole game. I said, let me see what happened. And what I saw scared the crap out of me. Let's go Knicks. The Celtics were trying.
Yeah.
Okay? I am not going to come on the radio and lie to you and say, oh, they didn't care. Like, they don't care in terms of where they are seed-wise. Mm-hmm. But did I see Jaylen Brown picking up Jalen Brunson 90 feet from the basket? Yeah. Did I see Jason Tatum switch on Jalen Brunson mm-hmm. and defend him? Yeah. Did I see them trap Jalen? I saw the Boston Celtics almost say, let's try a couple of aggressive things
just in case, slow him down. Just in case we see him again, let's figure out a way to slow down Jalen Brunson.
And guess what?
He destroyed him.
It all failed. So I get it. In terms of the standings, the game didn't matter. And I'm a big proponent of don't read too much into the regular season. Don't read too much into head-to-head matchups. And I've said that a lot. And so I'm going to try to be calm and say I'm not going to read that much into it. But what I will say, because I ain't a liar, is that do not tell yourself, whether you're in the coalition of Knick haters or you're a Celtic fan or you're a self-hating Knick fan, don't tell yourself the lie that the Celtics didn't try.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you watch the game, you know they did.
Right. Now, maybe their approach was flawed. I think their construction is a little bit flawed. Talk about the bigs and the... Is Kristaps really, even though he's 7 foot tall, is he a big? If he gets boxed out by Josh Hart, right? Is Al Horford going to dominate the boards? Are they going to be rim protectors? Like, all those things, those are up for debate and up mm-hmm. for question. But the other thing that I think is maybe a little bit flawed is that they've built the team that wants to shoot, right? They shoot a disproportionate amount of three-pointers. Half their shots are three-pointers. So last night, they were just cold, right? They shot under 40%. Usually, I mean, they're bigger than that. They're better than that. But they shot so many three-pointers. They don't get the rebounds. The shot disparity between the Knicks and the Celtics was like 13 shots, 15 shots.
Yeah.
Just think about that number of possessions.
And when Boston beats the Knicks earlier this season, they were shooting the lights out.
Right.
That's part of how they were able to do it. Look, it is a long ways away until we get potentially a Knicks-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals because the Knicks are on their way to the 2 or 3 seed. That's the reality. They're going to avoid that Celtic line to the Eastern Conference Finals. But you have to take it as a compliment, and you got to take it as reality. The New York Knicks, despite Julius Randle being out, despite that, despite some of the questions you may have about Tom Thibodeau in the playoffs, and he's got to answer that,
yeah,
despite the fears you may have about Miami or Philadelphia with Joel Embiid being healthy, here's the reality. The New York Knicks are good enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's the expectation. And so what I told you in October, and yes, a lot has changed between October 10th and where we are today, that's it.
Yeah.
Anything short of that, again, pick your own word. Disappointment. Mm-hmm. We didn't complete the mission. They're good enough. And that's the new expectation right. for this team. And I'm glad you're there because a week and a half ago, some Knicks fans were hiding under rocks giving up because Julius Randle was out.
No.
They're good enough even without Julius Randle, especially with the state of this Eastern Conference right now. You are better and can beat any team in this conference outside of Boston who we kind of push to the side,
right,
despite what we saw last night. So whether it's Orlando or it's Indiana or it's Miami or it's Philadelphia or even Milwaukee, the Knicks should beat them. And that's the world we live in. You want to say the Knicks are back? They are back.
Yeah,
they're the second best team in the East. Go prove it.
I could argue with you for argument's sake, but I can't because they are that good, and they looked that good last night against a Boston Celtics team. You were right, Evan. They were trying to win. But I think the biggest difference, and I guess we'll see what the playoffs bring, is it feels like, and I don't know if this to be true, but it feels like Tom Thibodeau is willing to be different. He's willing to
actually make playoff adjustments.
Yeah, well, just do different things.
Yes.
Like, what's it? All right, that's not working. Let me go big. All right, that's not working. Let me put a small line up there. You know what? I got shooters. Let me surround Jalen Brunson with shooters and a big. And, you know, they'll get the rebounds even against a big team like the Boston Celtics because Boston's not tough enough. And they'll shoot lights out. Right? It feels like Tom Thibodeau, and you have to give him so much credit because there was a point where it felt like he was so closed-minded that, in the face of the obvious, he wouldn't change.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like this season, and I think it was by necessity because of the injuries and how he had to utilize these guys who just weren't getting a bunch of playing time, like Deuce and others. Right? It feels like he's finally seen the light, and it's like, all right, there's different ways to win.
He's had a great, great season.
He's had an unbelievable season.
No question. And the Knicks have had a great regular season. But you're defined by the postseason.
Yes.
That's the way the sport works. And that's the way legacies work. And that's the biggest knock on Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau has been a wonderful regular season head coach. He's been a wonderful regular season head coach for the New York Knicks. He was a wonderful regular season head coach for the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
You need to win in the postseason. And the New York Knicks' new expectations, same as the old for me, but maybe new for you out there, is the Eastern Conference Finals. And there's a few reasons why you should believe that. When OG Anunoby plays, and as of right now he's playing, they're freaking 18-3. When OG Anunoby plays, he impacts games in a major way. You know, one of the deficiencies the Knicks have is where do they get the offense when Jalen sits? One of the ways they get the offense is by forcing turnovers courtesy of active hands of OG Anunoby leading to fast breaks.
Right.
One of the reasons they're able to score when Jalen's on the bench is because Josh Hart, what a pain in the ass, is as good as anybody in transition off of a defensive rebound. So the Knicks are making up for that deficiency that they have because Julius is out, but they're good enough. And I have to admit, it scares me.
Why does it scare
you? Because I don't want this. I don't want to be saying this. I don't want to be telling you, holy crap, they're the second best team in the East. You think I want that?
Don't you want Loogie to be thrilled?
No.
And excited?
No.
And don't you want his catchphrase, this dogs, dudes doing damage? Don't you want him to be able to say that so many times that he takes it back from those that are trying to appropriate it from him? You want that?
No, I don't.
Loogie, I want that for you.
Tiki, I'm glad you said that because I keep my own receipts. I told you the Knicks would be a top three seed. Check. I told you they would do damage. Check. I told Evan a year ago and his whiny net brethren got on me. I told you Jalen Brunson was a superstar. Check. As a Knicks fan, this has been as most fun I've had in a regular season in my life.
Good.
But there's work to be done.
Now own it. They got to get to the conference finals.
Sure do. And here's the other thing.
I'm glad you sign off on that because that's the 100%. Reality we have to have.
But it's hard not to sign off on it because they're good enough.
Yes.
Unlike the Giants, which you proclaim, they got to get to the blah, 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 because they did it last year. You look at the Giants, dude, it's not good enough, man. There's just no way it's happening.
I got you.
The Knicks are good enough.
But a part of it is we've seen this team get to the second round. As a fan.
Dude, not like this. Not with a team that plays like this. And even if, look, this is a 7-game series.
I got you.
If something goes wrong, there's no fatalism. There's no, oh, dude, you see that? We can't beat that.
Well, something already did go wrong. They lost their second best player.
No, but I mean in the series. In the playoff series, if something goes wrong, say whoever they play in the first round comes out and has a great win and it just dominates the Knicks and it's just like, oh, woe is me. My gut is not, woe is me. It's, all right, they'll fix it.
Yes.
Right? They'll be different the next time out. In 7 games, I feel like this team can find a way to be competitive and or beat almost anybody.
Now, here's the worry, and we'll address it coming up. There are 5 possibilities on who you will play in the first round postseason.
That's crazy.
5. We'll go through them and kind of power rank who we want and who we don't want. And Knicks fans, sign off on it. Show some guts. It's Eastern Conference Finals or bust. And that's a compliment. 877-337-6666. That's the toll-free number. Plus, what are the scenarios going into the weekend? We will inform you so you are prepared. And why is Jalen Brunson disrespected nationally? We'll try to explore all of that. We got a lot of baseball to get to as the show rolls on as well. Doc Gooden will join the show later on. And Tom Brady is an attention whore. So it's very, very simple. How can the New York Knicks achieve something that seemed so impossible a few weeks and months ago, being the number two seed in the Eastern Conference? Well, they got to do a couple of things. Number one, they've got to beat my basketball team, the Brooklyn Nets, tonight at Madison Square Garden. Check. Then you've got to beat the Chicago Bulls on Sunday, a Bull team that already has the 9 spot wrapped up. And since they're playing on Tuesday, or I should say, no, they'd be playing on Friday. No, they'd be playing on Tuesday because they got to play the 9-10 game. They're probably going to rest their guys.
Right.
And the Bulls aren't any good anyway. So it's a perfect combination. So there's a really good chance the Knicks will get these final two games. But you need help. And you will need the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think Damian Lillard is listed as questionable for tonight's game. You need the Bucks to lose both of their final two games. And if they do as such, the Knicks are the two seed. And it's on the table the Bucks lose those games because their final two games are in Oklahoma City against the Thunder and in Orlando against the Magic. If you do that and the Bucks lose both of their games, the New York Knicks are the two seed. Now, do you want the two seed? That's up to you because as of right now, it looks like it's going to be Philly-Miami in that battle for that spot in the play-in tournament. Now, that can change. Philly plays Orlando tonight. That's a huge game. Indiana plays Cleveland tonight. So there's the potential possibility that Philly jumps above Indiana. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to break down that scenario for you, but bottom line is Philly needs to win twice. Indiana needs to lose twice. And then it's a different play-in matchup. But the likeliest scenario, if the Knicks get the two seed, is playing the winner of Miami and Philadelphia, which may not be that appealing. But if you are the two seed, you ensure that game 7 would be at Madison Square Garden, no matter who the hell you play in a potential 2-3 matchup. So, and by the way, the other thing, and you got to tell me if this matters, okay? I'm going to take a step back and let the Knicks fan tell me. If they win their final two games, they win 50. And that's kind of like a benchmark.
Yeah.
2 or 3 seed, obviously that's dependent on the help of the Bucks losing. Is 50 a magical number to you, Loogie? Does it make you more doggy to get to 50?
No, absolutely. I think getting the 2 seed, winning 50 games, I think are all building blocks, and with the ultimate goal here is to win a chip. So I'm down with that for sure. Now, as far as the Sixers Heat thing, it's a nightmare draw. I'll be real with you. That's not a good draw. The Heat are really, really good. They're not a friggin' 8 seed. They went to the finals last year, and they're awesome. And the Sixers, too. Obviously, they wouldn't be in the spot if Embiid was healthy. So that's a nightmare draw. Look, you play whoever you got to play. You do what you got to do. They'll do damage. But it's a nightmare draw. You'd obviously rather have Cleveland because they're soft like tissue paper. Magic, or it's too big a moment. Same thing with Indiana. They scare me a little bit with their style, but I'd much rather see Indiana, Cleveland, or Orlando.
Yeah, and by the way, the Heat have also, I mean, they're in the play-in, obviously, but they were in the play-in last year.
I know, they've shown you it doesn't matter.
They've also shown that they know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right? They know how to, even if they, I mean, they lost the first play-in game.
Yeah, right? they had to beat the Bulls in the right. Just to survive to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, the
but then look
game.
What they did. They beat the Bucks.
Right.
And, so, and we're losing to the Bulls late in that game.
Right.
Exactly. So they know that they can do it. Like, it doesn't matter to them that they have to go through this arduous route to get to the, even just the first round of the playoffs. And so to them, it's kind of, it's not impactful.
It's old hat, as they say.
It's old hat, exactly right. So that's what makes them dangerous, because they believe that they can do it. If you've never done it before, it's kind of like, oh, okay, maybe. But they've done it before.
We'll power rank your potential opponents, but let's get to some of your calls. 877-337-6666. Ian is calling from Astoria. Good afternoon, Ian. How are you?
What's up, boys?
What's up?
There is an argument to be made that last night was the most important regular season game that the Knicks have played, and I'll tell you why. There's precedent. 17 years ago, a team from New York,
oh God,
coached by a man named Tom, played a team from Boston at the end of the regular season, and they played them tough, and they gave them the hope, and they knew that they could compete, and they knew that they could win. And when they saw them in the Super Bowl, they took care of the Patriots. It's the exact same scenario. And Tiki, you made me think of it. Tom Thibodeau has changed.
No
just
doubt.
Like Tom Coughlin had to get where they ultimately ended up.
Yeah.
And it's been fantastic to see.
Good call, Ian. You're absolutely right about that. I mean, it's one of those things where it's subtle. And then, you know, if you're outside of the organization or the sphere, like the fan base, you're outside of it, it doesn't mean anything to you. Like if you go to a Dallas Mavericks fan and say, you know what? If you see Tom Thibodeau in the finals, he's changed, a different man. They'll be like, all right, who cares? Whatever. But you say it to a Knicks fan, it makes perfect sense. Just like when you said it to the Giant fan that Tom Coughlin was different in 2007, it made perfect sense. And it wasn't an accident that they played so great and then ultimately won a Super Bowl.
I give you the second part, but I ain't giving you the first part. I'm sorry. You cannot compare. I apologize. I guess I'm being a bad guy. It only took me 32 minutes. You cannot compare the Giant-Patriot game when the Patriots are trying to complete a perfect season to the Celtics, who 2 days earlier lost to the Bucks. Now, look, the Celtics tried last night. I'll make that very clear. I went back at 1 a.m. I watched the tape. I confirmed it. I'm not saying they didn't try. But at the end of the day, there wasn't anything on the line in the game.
Yeah, but it didn't even matter. Like the game mattered, but it didn't matter.
But exactly. With the Patriots, it mattered. They were looking to become an undefeated team. That was a big deal. You can't compare that to last night's Celtic-Knick game. It's a nice try.
Yeah, but
I commend Ian for the effort. But
I don't even think he's saying that.
It's exactly what he said.
No. You're misinterpreting.
Oh, am I?
You're looking at it from the Patriots/Celtics side. He's talking about it from the Knicks/Giants side. Yeah, the Giants lost that last regular season game to the Patriots, but in their minds, they're like, dude, we got these guys. Like, we know we can play with them.
I think
they
are
not unbeatable. The Knicks, last night, now, they probably were this way anyways. I don't think they needed this destruction of the Celtics, even though it became almost a 10-point game at the end.
Misleading, by the way. That final score is misleading.
Unbelievably misleading, especially because nobody played in the fourth quarter for the Knicks, including Jalen Brunson, only played 30, whatever it was, minutes. So I think that from the Knicks' standpoint, they didn't need what happened last night against the Celtics to give them that, all right, we can beat these guys. I think they thought that anyways.
Yeah.
But from an observer's perspective, it feels the same for the Knicks and the Giants. Forget the Pats and the Celtics.
I can't agree
from
with
the
that.
Knicks and the Giants.
I can't agree
it
with
feels
that.
Like, all right, the best team in the world we can beat,
yeah,
and we can play with.
No, but there's context to second or third to last regular season game in a year in which you've won 63 games and you've got the one seed wrapped up versus a team playing for history like the Patriots did at the end of the 07 season.
But
I'm not trying to minimize it. The Knicks kicked their ass and the Celtics didn't just kind of mail it in.
No, they didn't.
But in terms of what the game actually meant, there was nothing on the line.
I mean, I don't know what the record is, but the Boston Celtics have been historically dominant at home.
Yeah. I think they've lost only four games in Boston all year long, including that one.
This was the fourth game.
Yeah.
35-3. I don't know what the NBA record is, but it's got to be damn close. You lose three games or four games at home, it's got to be one of the best home records in a regular season ever.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why it meant something. Forget that it wasn't what the Patriots were going after, because guess what? In the NBA, you're never going to get perfection.
No, I don't care. No, but it's not like the Celtics were trying to match the Warriors or the Bulls and win over 70 games. It was just a regular, kind of like the Milwaukee game. And it's not minimizing it. It's just, I can't put it on that level. Like, that Giant-Patriot game is an iconic game in NFL history. It is. We are not going to remember this game.
The regular season game?
Yes. 100%. Sean, back me up on that as a Giant. Is that not an iconic game?
Iconic game?
It's iconic.
Thank you.
Really? Because of what ultimately happened, though.
Well, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Because of what happened.
No.
I don't think it was iconic.
There will never be a documentary told about the Knicks and Celtics on April 11th, 2020.
Even if the Knicks beat them.
There wouldn't have been a documentary told about the Giants week 17 of the 2007 season if they hadn't won the Super Bowl.
Tiki, hear me out on this. Let's say the Knicks get to the conference finals, which they should, and they're playing the Boston Celtics and they beat them. And they shock me, and they shock most of the world. No one's going to think of April 11th. They're going to think of that series. They're going to think of all the twists and turns from that best of seven. I think the story...
Are you sure?
I'm actually positive. Right.
And there's another couple major differences here. The Giants had everything locked up, including seeding. The Knicks do not. They were still playing for something last night. And that game became immortalized because Coughlin didn't lay down the dogs and rest and go for the playoffs. It was about fighting for NFL history.
By the way, this is apples and walnuts.
But that's
it's not even the same conversation because the sports are so vastly different. You only have 17 or 16 opportunities then in the NFL, whereas you have 82 of them in basketball.
Let's go to Nick calling from Wantagh. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
What's up, man?
Happy Friday. What's up?
So I want to go back to maybe a month ago or 2 weeks ago. Evan, you were saying that the Knicks are not title contenders.
That is correct. Now, that is correct, yes.
Now, if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, wouldn't they be technically title contenders in the Final Four?
Ask me why I feel differently about this in 1 month, because it's a very fair question. I'm glad you brought it up, and I think the answer is obvious.
You're going to say Giannis and the Bucks.
No, I'm not even going to say Giannis and the Bucks. It has something to do with the Knicks. There's a reason why a month ago I argued with people about where Jalen was in the pantheon of NBA players and reminded everyone that winning championships usually means you have an elite, elite, elite player, and I don't think Jalen Brunson was one of them. I'm not a liar, Nick. I could never do that. As much as I want to be hard-headed and want to be a hater on your team, I got to call it like it is. What this son of a bitch has done over the last month cannot be ignored, and I'm not going to ignore it. He is playing at an insane level right now.
Dog!
And that insane level is why I have to say something different, because if I didn't, I'd just be lying to you, and I don't think you want me to do that.
No, I mean, I respect it, and respect you coming to your senses.
I mean, it's good, but you know what? I don't even think it's me coming to my senses, and if you want to dunk on me, that's fine. Jalen Brunson, and I'll give you the numbers, what Jalen Brunson has done over the last month is on another planet.
Right.
Like, that's the reality.
What is this, five straight 35-plus games? Almost had, you know, three straight 40-plus games.
Dude, he's making the 40-point game routine. And so when we had this discussion, for those who missed it, about why I didn't think the Knicks were a legitimate title contender, it was centered around Jalen's really good, and he's made a lot of progress, but he's not that. Look, CP, the franchise who I love, and he's going to come in next week and hang out with us for an hour, getting set for the playoffs. I love the man. CP was dunking on me the other day, and I respect it. CP was saying, oh, Ev, remember the Jason Tatum, Jalen Brunson argument? Well, over the last month, unless I'm going to lie to you, unless I'm going to be so pig-headed as a talk show host to just deny reality, and I don't think I've ever done that.
No.
I have to admit, dude, the guy's playing his ass off.
You wear your IBO, IFO, IHO, whatever, crown very purely.
Thank you. Well, I have to be honest.
Right.
So I don't think I was wrong. I think I'm wrong now. Because he's played like a freaking superstar. And I hate that term because it's so dopey. Is this guy a superstar? Is that guy a superstar? Here's what I know. Over the last month, Jalen Brunson's played like the best player on the planet. I'll go to that extreme because that's what he's done. Now, is that going to continue next week or next Sunday? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that going to continue in the postseason when you are facing tougher defenses and tougher opponents and it's the playoffs and it's more of a half-court game? Look, I saw a preview of it last night. It scared the crap out of me because I saw the Celtics get aggressive on Jalen, and it didn't matter whether it was from the mid-range, whether it was getting to the basket. Jalen Brunson's playing like the man, like him, as the kids say. So, trust me, I wish I could just be a pig-headed, I'm sticking with what I saw and what I thought in February, but the guy's playing his ass off right now. And I know it bothers you guys out there that it doesn't seem like he's getting respected nationally.
He's not. I'm looking at the NBA.com rankings for the MVP. Obviously, Jokic is the leader. And after last night's victory, he's going to win the MVP again. But you go through the top five that they have. This is their estimation. It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Who should be, by the way? I think SGA is above him. And that's not a knock on Jalen. We're looking at the full season.
And then it's Luka.
Yeah.
And then it's Giannis. And then it's Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
And finally, once you get to the next five, he cracked the top 10. Finally.
Yeah.
He was unranked a week ago. He's eighth behind Sabonis and Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think there's a lot of reasons why he doesn't get the love that he deserves.
One is because of where he came from, meaning he was a backup in Dallas, mm-hmm. and then the only way he was shining was when Luka got hurt, and he was playing, and he was playing at this ridiculously high level. It's like, hey, man, this guy can play a little bit, which then made him attractive to a team like the Knicks, who needed a leader to come in, and then he comes in last year, and he has a fantastic season, but it felt like what happened to with the Heat in the postseason overshadowed everything that he did as a, in the regular season. And so you needed a, all right, we need another look. It's like one of those things where it just, okay, you did it, do it again, right?
You think that's the reason?
I think it's absolutely the reason.
There's another reason.
You do it once, you got to do it again.
There's another reason.
Which is?
I'll be the one to say it.
Which is?
Because I know if it comes from Loogie, it doesn't sound right. If it comes from CP, it doesn't sound right. It comes across like they're whiny, unhinged babies. Mm. I'll say it. I will do it for you. Because the national media hates the New York Knicks.
Oh, I'll go a step further. They don't even watch the Knicks. They have no idea what they're talking about. They're speaking from a case with
no way the national media is not watching this.
Well, I don't know if they're not watching the Knicks
intently, because then they are idiots with their takes.
No, but I think my reasoning, and I say this from experience, is because I see the way the Jets are talked about nationally, and I see the way the Mets are talked about nationally. And I think the Knicks, as much as you guys may not want to admit this, mm-hmm. have a lot of similarities to the Mets and the Jets. And that is, there's an LOL attached to them. And that LOL existed fairly for a long period of time. It existed very fairly on the Jets. Maybe it still does. It existed on the Knicks for a long time. It certainly has gone back and forth with the Mets. And some in the national media can't get past making fun of the Mets, making fun of the Jets, making fun of the Knicks. And I've seen it with my own teams that there is a bias in, even when things are done right, even when they're emerging, mm-hmm. we need to throw in the subtle joke, because nationally, LOL Mets, because nationally, LOL Jets, and yes, because nationally, LOL Knicks.
Yeah, but
it's the same thing. So I don't know if it's who's watching or not watching. I think to me, it's more that the Knicks are treated very similarly, and I have a passion for this because I feel it with those two other teams.
NBA doesn't have flex scheduling, right? They can't.
Yeah, late in the year, they switch some games
they
around.
They can mix some games
around.
That's
how they dump the Nets all year long.
Right. Well, I think part of it is the fact that the Knicks have not been nationally a ton. Last night was a time to see Jalen Brunson. And if you were just watching national basketball last night, you saw the Knicks and you saw Jalen Brunson destroying everything that the Celtics tried to do to him. And so when you start listening to the national coverage now after a national game, it's like, well, maybe we were wrong about this team. I think it just takes some national attention to change what people think, because they're not seeing it. Like, we see it. We take it for granted that we can watch this team every single night if we want to. Or even if we don't watch it, you can find out what's going on because we talk about it.
Right.
But nationally, nobody's talking about this team. But there's so many other really great teams.
No, I get that. But I think a lot of it is it's trying to break a habit. And the habit has been for the last 20 years to mock the Knicks the way it's to mock the Mets and mock the Jets. And sometimes it's tough to fight past that. And I think that's what goes on. That's where, as much as I may not like the Knicks, I may not be a Knicks fan, I see myself sometimes when I look at them. Mm. I see the teams I root for. I see that similarity. And what I've learned to do, and this is my advice to the Knicks fans out there, I've learned to just not give a rat's ass. I've learned to not care what some dopey talking head wants to say on Fox about the New York Jets. Because, it's funny, LOL Jets. Or, it's funny, LOL Mets. Like, there's a double standard. And the Knicks, unfortunately, despite their success over the last few years, they haven't broke through yet.
So how many games, Sean, did they have nationally?
So they had 25. Now it'll be 26 because Sunday flexed.
That's a good number. Yep.
That puts them as the third highest in the East, eighth in the league.
Yeah, so they
actually are on a ton national TV.
It's not that. I'm telling you, it's the LOL thing. It applies to the – I don't think any of our other –
I wonder what games they were, though. Like, I think that matters.
They just kicked the Celtics' ass.
Yes, and now you're starting to hear people talk about – I've just read you the – this is NBA.com.
Yeah, they still put him ninth in the MVP rankings.
Eighth.
Eighth.
But I'm just saying, this is NBA.com.
Yeah.
So if there's somebody that should know how well Jalen Brunson is playing, how invaluable Jalen Brunson is to this Knicks team, because without him, they're a different team. It should be whoever's writing for NBA.com. So there is something else there. Clearly, whoever did this is watching games or knows about the impact that Jalen Brunson has, yet he still is behind Anthony Edwards.
You know why?
He's still behind
three letters
Sabonis.
For you, LOL.
But how can you say that?
Because it's,
this Knicks
team. I'm not saying it's fair, dude. It's not fair for the other teams I just talked about, but it's the reality. Because there's no other reason for it. And it happens a lot. And it's still happening despite the fact the Knicks are going back to the postseason, despite the fact right now it feels like they're the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
I think given the injuries and the I don't know, disruption that this Knicks team managed to get through, stabilize through, and then even rise above, it's one of the great jobs that a coach has done in a really long time.
He's done a great job. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Let's go to Dennis in Forked River, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
We're good.
I got to tell you, I was never really a big Julius Randle fan, and I got to say, I think the Knicks are better off without him being in the lineup because he doesn't perform in the playoffs, and his defense is lackluster, and he's a turnover machine.
Okay, so you laid out some pretty fair criticisms of Julius Randle, but you left out what they're missing by him not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're missing is in those moments when Jalen Brunson needs to rest and needs to sit on the bench, they lose that offensive punch that Julius Randle can supply.
They also lose a bully ball option.
Big time. They lose a major weapon. So when you say he's come up small in the playoffs, of course I agree with you. And I'm skeptical he was even going to change that this year. So sure, fair criticism. But I'd rather see him try than not see him there at all. That's number one. Number two, they're not better without Julius Randle.
No.
They're better that there's no uncertainty around Julius Randle. I'll give you that. Because as I said when they announced him being out for the season, I said this is good news for you because Julius attempting to come back with us not even being sure how good he is and how much he can play, and Julius isn't going to change his game, who's going to be more of a hindrance. Mm-hmm. So this is a little nuanced, but let's be fair. If you were getting all NBA Julius Randle, don't tell me they're better off without him. It's lunacy. If you're telling me we're getting a compromised Julius Randle, yeah, they're better off without him.
Yeah, but they didn't. I mean, they are pretty damn good. They feel more consistent without Julius Randle. I'm not saying they're better.
Let's not forget what they were with Julius Randle, though.
I understand.
Let's not act like they were crap.
It just feels like they're more consistent. And maybe that's because Jalen Brunson's been carrying so much of the load, and he seems capable of doing it. But there's going to be a night when Jalen Brunson is just off.
Yeah, and then what happens?
And then they lose.
They will. No. They will lose. In the postseason against these opponents, they will lose that game.
Yes.
And Jalen Brunson, as great as he is, as much praise I'm heaping on him, he's going to have some off nights. And if Julius Randle, and look, this is the hypothetical that makes it tough. If you're getting regular season Julius Randle in the postseason, of course they miss him.
I mean, but it's hard. It's hard to qualify all of this because of the circumstances that have surrounded him, right? From the first time he went to the postseason against Atlanta and they whipped him around till last year when
he was hurt.
Yeah. Like it's really hard to accurately evaluate him. We can opine, we can have an opinion about it, but it's really hard to accurately opine about him.
The way I will look at it is he has not proven he can step up in a big spot. So that criticism from our last caller is fair.
Until he does it.
But where I differ is I'd still rather have him. If that's your take, then trade his ass, which I've suggested 157 times, that he shouldn't even be on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top 20 player in the NBA, so you need him on the floor. But I would argue OG Anunoby's a more important player to coming
100%.
Back. And that's not a knock on Julius, but when OG's on the floor, they beat everybody. And frankly, it's not even close. They whooped the Nuggets' ass, the Celtics' ass, T-Wolves,
OG,
you name it.
OG Anunoby has played 21 games as a member of the New York Knicks. They are 18-3. He has been in the plus category in the very overrated stat known as plus minus in every game he's played.
I never even look at that.
I look at it sometimes. Sometimes I feel like it matters. Sometimes it's a waste of time.
It has zero context to it.
It means they're better when he's on the floor.
I'll make it simple for you. Who else is he on the floor with? Give me the plus minus combos. That would be a different stat to look at.
Trust me, I've gotten lost in those weeds before. NBA.com, I've gotten two-man grouping, three-man grouping. Right. I get lost in that one. Josh and Poughkeepsie. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How we doing?
We're good.
I just want to make three quick points. I'll make them fast. One is about Kenny Smith last night. And about a month and a half ago, I said to you guys after they did a last TNT game, Kenny Smith came on and said the reason the Knicks are never going to win is because they don't have the best player on the court ever. no matter who they play, Orlando, Indiana, all these guys. And I said, the only people that I would not take Jalen over is Embiid, Giannis, and Tatum. And I still feel that way. But now last night he says Jalen Brunson has been the best player in the Eastern Conference all year long.
Well, I think he's
and they all sit there.
But he's wrong about that. What I think is fairer to say, and tell me if you disagree, is over the last month he has. And that's what I've even been saying. Like, I'm admitting over the last month he has been he's been as good as anybody. But that doesn't mean he's been the best over the full season.
Right, and I agree with that, and I'm glad that, because me and you had the same argument a couple months ago as well, Evan.
Yeah.
And you asked me, what are the Knicks going to do with who is their second best player? And you wanted to say it was Josh Hart, and you actually hung up on me before I could answer because you wanted me to hear you say Josh
what
Hart.
What was your
but
answer?
But instead, all I was wanting to say was it doesn't matter on a daily night because they know Brunson is the oil or the engine, and everybody else is the oil that keeps it going. So if he plays well, they're going to win. If he doesn't, obviously.
No, I don't. I disagree. I don't think it's as simple as that. And I think it does matter who your second best player is. So do you want to answer that?
Yeah.
Or are you still going to stick with it doesn't matter? It's oil.
I mean, it's a different night every night. It can be Devo one night. It can be Josh Hart the next night. It could be Anunoby the next night.
But Josh, that means they have to play on that kind of level. This is the playoffs we're talking about. We're not talking about a regular season game against the Chicago Bulls or, dare I say, my garbage team that you're going to see tonight. So if you want to tell me it's going to change every single night, one night it's DiVincenzo, one night it's Josh Hart, one night it's OG Anunoby, they better play at a star level.
But honestly, that's what's happening. Honestly, I would say it's OG, simply because, and it's not even an offensive thing. It's just because he's so reliably defensively. You can pick one guy and say, you're screwed. You're not doing what you normally do, and OG will take care of that.
Well, that's why he is so valuable to have back.
100%.
And the key is to keep him back, because he's been back for a handful of games, and when we saw when he came back the first time is he was only back for a handful of games before he re-injured himself. Brian's in North Arlington. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Evan, Tiki, great show. Evan, this is the best point you've ever had, the LOL Knicks, LOL Jets, LOL Mets thing, because it's absolutely true, because me and every other Yankees fan thinks of the Mets that way, you know?
Yeah,
so
no, I get you. And unfortunately, like, that's how the Knicks have been viewed for a very long time. And look, they earned that. Like, in fairness, the Knicks, the Mets, and the Jets, three teams in this town, have earned being laughed at a lot. They've earned that. But they're fighting through that now. Especially the Knicks, more so than those two other teams right now. The Knicks are about to complete a 3 out of 4 year run of making the playoffs. And I know that sounds minor, especially if you're a fan of the Philadelphia 76ers or the Milwaukee Bucks or the Boston Celtics. You hear 3 out of 4 and you say to yourself, oh, that's adorable. I would have said that last year because my team was in the playoffs every year,
too. But it's a big deal here.
But it's an accomplishment, and it's moving away from the moniker of LOL. And look, Met fans are going to feel this too, because we have this on top of us, where even when good things are happening, there's this natural reaction to LOL at us. And some things, and sometimes you see it in this town, like, I don't want to use the Nets as a comparison, because even though they sell out every game, nobody cares about them. So I'll use the Mets and the Yankees as a comparison. Something will happen at Yankee Stadium. Oh, I got one. I got a perfect one. Solar Eclipse Day.
Yeah.
Solar Eclipse Day. They schedule a 2 o'clock game. They're giving out T-shirts. We're all going to watch the solar eclipse. 4 days before that happens, the game gets moved because MLB says it's not safe. If that was the Mets, same circumstances, same opponent, that was the Mets, what would the reaction be? Be a little different. L-O-L Mets.
Definitely.
I think it would have been the same.
No one.
I think it would have been the same.
No one. Sean, break the tie.
The Mets would have been unbelievably mocked for it.
The Mets would have been mocked.
Really?
I'll go a step further. The eclipse was on. We brushed over those T-shirts real quick. We would have spent 4 hours on the Met T-shirts being handed out. They look like the ones the Yankees handed out.
And you know what that proves? Mm-hmm. We do it too. Like the LOL moniker that those three teams carry, we do it too. Like I'm sure we do with the Jets and Giants as well.
But I think it all depends on what the circumstances were. It felt like it was the Marlins, right? So if it was the Mets, is it because the Mets screwed it up? They didn't actually get permission? Or was it because the opponent was like, no, we don't want to play in an eclipse?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Perception is it's the Mets no matter what.
It's the Mets, typical Mets, LOL Mets.
And let's be fair, the Knicks, the Jets, the Mets, they've done it to themselves.
Well,
let's
that's what
be
I said.
Honest.
They've earned that reputation for a long time, which makes it tougher to fight through.
Yeah.
Now, I think what's frustrating right now for the Knicks is that they're at the doorstep of saying, hey, why would we be laughed at? You know, Leon Rose hasn't been involved in the LOLs. Tom Thibodeau hasn't been involved in the LOLs. Jalen Brunson certainly hasn't been involved in the LOLs. And even if they don't accomplish the goal of getting to a conference final, let's say they lose a hard-fought series, dare I say in the first round, to Philadelphia, right? We'll kill them. You'll be disappointed. Is that LOL worthy?
No.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Depends on how they lose.
Yeah, I mean, if they get swept.
Right.
You know?
Right. But if it's seven games and it's just a better team, it's different.
We'll get to more of your calls, 877-337-6666. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.